Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow, and welcome back to The Realm. I, again, am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you that are marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain of nerddom. So, you know, I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis that specialize in a plethora of art forms. Tonight, as always, I'm going to have a couple of fellow scribes on here, and we'll get into that in a second. But if you like what you hear this evening, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or you can follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter or Insta or TikTok or YouTube, and look for me as just JV Hilliard, little old JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my message spell and take control of the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio here. And for you D&D nerds out there like me, the duration of my transmutation magic is about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter my realm together. Today we're chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribes A.K. Ramirez and Ian Eviston. And so A.K. is a mystery and thriller writer, and I had the pleasure of spending some time with her a few weeks ago at a convention and read most of her book there, finished it when I got home. And if you like serial killers and deep-cut thrillers, you're going to enjoy her stuff. Ian, though, is a kindred spirit. He's like me. He's a bit of a D&D nerd, and he recently finished his first published work called Demon Slayer. No, not the animation Demon Slayer that we're all thinking about. This is a little darker, and we'll get into that with him in a little bit. A.K., Ian, well met, and welcome to my realm.
Hi. Hey,
it's good to be here.
It's good to be here.
Good.
Thank you.
A.K., let me start, ladies first, so let me start with you. Why don't you tell our listeners about you and what you write and where they can find you?
My name is A.K. Ramirez. I write mystery thrillers, currently working on a serial killer series. I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, and you can find my books anywhere you can order a book or on my website at akramirezwrites.com.
Ian, how about you? Tell everybody about yourself and where they can find you.
Yeah, so I write new adult fantasy / of sci-fi. The first book, Demon Slayer, and then the second book, Sun Chaser, of the series, The Vanguard Chronicles, are out. The third one should be done here shortly, and then people can find it. Instagram is IP Eviston, website ipeviston.com, and, of course, Amazon.
Cool. So, AK, I'm going to dive right in with you. So your serial killer book sold out when we were in Raleigh at GalaxyCon together. And give our listeners a sense of what you write and a little bit about the recent release and the serial killer stuff that you're going to be delving into.
Yeah, so my first book came out last November. It's about a detective who was actually kidnapped by a serial killer for 3 days. And 2 years later, she's going to move on with her life, keep going, but she's getting photographs delivered to her on a regular basis. He's still stalking her. Meanwhile, she has a murder close to home that happens, and it throws her back into the world of having to work and do things. Book one is really a big intro to that whole serial killer realm, and then the small murder as well. Book two actually comes out in October.
Perfect month for
yeah.
Serial killer book, right?
comes out in October, and as the books progress, they get a little darker and a little creepier, if I'm going to be honest. Overall, it's all about human perseverance.
And Ian, yours, you know, look, I know that you did equally as well. You sold out both your first and your second book at the con. Tell us about the books and the genre you've chosen, because you mentioned that it's both sort of like fantasy and a little bit of sci-fi in there. Enlighten our listeners tonight a little bit about Demon Slayer and Sun Chaser.
Yeah, sure. So I think the best way is to start with the first book, which it follows, you know, brother and sister. The sister's dying of leukemia, and they live in the slums. So he's finding a way to, you know, pay for her treatment. And there's a species in the world that are demons who eat the magic of the world to survive, and humans have a lot of it. So, you know, the main character, he learns if he joins the front lines of that war, they'll pay for a treatment. So that kind of kicks the series off. You know, he meets the rest of his team, you know, joins the war, and it escalates from there. You know, it's got some sci-fi in it because the technology is really similar to ours. They just implement the magic of the world inside of it. So, you know, you see a lot of the ways that they use travel and, you know, everyday appliances a little bit differently than ours.
Cool, and I can definitely see why it's called Demon Slayer.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
You see the title, you know exactly what you're getting into.
Yeah, you're going to dive right in. So, AK, look, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I can see it. I don't know. We haven't talked about this yet, but in reading your first novel, this is clearly super adaptable to, like, a Netflix or like a silver screen kind of thing. Do you see that in the future for your work? I mean, I think it's eminently adaptable. You tell me, because I know that like the serial killer stuff that you're writing, especially as it goes darker, people love that stuff. My wife reads that, like, deep cut read, crazy stuff, watches anything that has the word serial in it, even if it's the wrong kind of serial. Do you see yourself eventually, you know, having a possibility here of seeing this adapted to either the silver or the small screen?
I would be lying if I said it wasn't, like, a big dream. That would just be over-the-top amazing. But just the fact, just having books out there and being published is just a huge dream as well. So I'm going to go with I would love that, but the goal is just to get those books out there.
Yeah, you know, like, your books, you hit on a couple of themes, like you said, it's a book about human perseverance, right? And
for sure.
There's certain, I don't want to call them tropes, but there are certain struggles that make your novels relatable, right? Like when guys like Ian and I write, we write in fantasy realms, and so you have to get the base and ground characters and different plot lines in some level of you know, something that's relatable to people that are reading it, or else that it may not fit. In your case, this is a hardcore, this is like an ugly, very dark, you know, kind of writing thing. Did you find inspiration in this from, you know, your love of serial killers, or is this some sort of, you know, something that, you know, where did the inspiration for the books come from?
I would say they came from a variety of places. I grew up watching a lot of Law and Order. A lot of Law and Order, and then Criminal Minds, and then during the pandemic, I really got into I got into true crime podcasts a lot while going through the pandemic. So, definitely give a lot of credit to them too. But
all
I also
right.
grew up reading a lot of mystery books as well.
Yeah, my wife, Helter Skelter. I mean, it is like dog-eared, like falling apart kind of thing. She was a Manson.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So I totally get that. Ian, let me flip over to you for a second, and I want you to be honest here. Are any of your Dungeons & Dragons characters in your work?
Yes.
I knew it. I do the same thing, man. It's okay.
It's fun. Yeah, because I use D&D kind of as like a trial run, you know, like if I'm a player, I'm going to make a character, and then I'll use that character as like, hey, would this make a good character in my books? Let me be the character, and let me try it out and see how it goes. So there's definitely a couple characters for sure that I've just copy and pasted their personality and tweaked them a little bit for the story.
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of the same stuff. And I think it's in part because they're battle-tested, right? Like you've gone through either as a dungeon master or as a player character – You've tested not just the characters you've got, but even for me, I use some of the plot lines and you know, I'm working a lot with, you know, players that are very experienced, and these guys also read my genre. And so when you feel that around the table, or you feel that on your Skype, you get a sense that, yeah, this is really working, and it would work in a book too. So I'm going to obviously ask the follow-up question. Which of your D&D characters are your favorite, and who did you make them in the book? Are they the very exact same character, or did you do a little tweaking around the edges?
So there is a young snake boy, a Yonti called Totoran, and he went by Tota. and he was a wild magic sorcerer. He is. He's still alive. He is a wild magic sorcerer. And he is just, he's playful, inquisitive, curious. You know, he's 14 years old, and he's getting all these powers that usually backfire, but he tries his best to do the good. You know, he's like, I'm going to do the best I can. Sometimes my magic doesn't do what I want it to do. And there is a character in the books called Iggy Telflower, and he is a little engineer. He's very inquisitive. He's always trying to construct these machines and implement magic into it, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it backfires spectacularly. But it's the exact same personality, and I've just kind of molded it into the books. I'm like, this character, you know, is just a lot of fun to write, so let me put him into the books and see what I can do with it. And I mean, then it turned into one of the most major characters in the books. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. I did that with – I had a half-elven ranger, and I turned him into one of the main characters in my book. His name's Sir Ritter of Vulcaneer, and he's kind of like my version of Aragorn meets Drizzt from the Dark Elf trilogy, right? Like, he's like the –
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's the super – Yeah, like you hope that the readers fall in love with him, and he's got this overwhelming sense of duty, and is kind of a shy guy and things like that. But it, like, that's the way I played him for 14 levels, and I just had to bake him into the story. So that's good. Well, look, my next question is for both of you, and AK, I'll start with you first. What's next for you? I know you kind of mentioned this a little earlier. What kind of works in progress do you have?
So my serial killer series is actually going to be 5 books. So book 2 comes out this year. Book 3 is on its way to the editor here shortly. Other than that, I'm going to conventions and meeting people and keeping on writing.
How about you, Ian? You've got the Vanguard series, or how many books deep does that go? And I know you said you got a third sort of like on the way here. What mm-hmm. else can we expect from you?
Yeah, so it will also be a series of 5 books. I swear I'm not copying you. But the third book, Godsend, will come out hopefully in December, probably February. Yeah, and then
right.
the fourth one.
I feel that pain, man. I feel it.
But it'll be 5 books in total. I'm really excited for, you know, how the series will go.
Well, AK, this is a question I ask all of the authors that come on my show, and I think my readers like this question a lot. I get a lot of this, too, is, you know, what did you edit out of your book? Whether it was like a heartbreaker and you were killing your darlings and you had to take it out, what was something that you edited out of your book that you wish you would have kept or you wish you could have put back in?
I had another side character who was another friend character to my main character, and she was so great and through the whole book, and I ended up just Xing her out really early on because she was sort of taking over. But I miss her and plan to use her somewhere else one day.
Well, that's good. Good. You know, that, I always do that. If I'm cutting stuff out and it hits the production room floor, I always save it, hoping that I can cannibalize it and use it for something later, you know, just because it's, especially if you love it and you're like, oh, I don't want to cut this out.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you have to, just to make the book better. Sometimes our editors come back and they're like, this, what is this? Like, why is this in here? Or your beta readers, and you're like, oh, shut up. I love that. I don't want to take it out. So how about you, Ian? Have you ever done that? Or do you have anything you've edited out that you're like, damn, I want to put this back in, but I can't, and you did it for all the right reasons, but you regret it.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, whenever I finish the book, there's a lot of scenes or, like, extra stuff where I'm trying to trim it down, you know, especially, like, character development. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of just randomness here. What can I cut out? And then there was even a character who I had a whole arc for in the second book, and I won't go into spoilers, but the character just ends up, I'm like, actually, I think they would die here. So then I had to go and delete all the extra stuff after that and completely change it around to where it made sense. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely gone back and said, hey, this book, I mean, my first book's 640 pages, so it was about 700. And I was like, I can't keep all this. It either needs to go in the later books or just cut it out completely.
Yeah, that's true epic fantasy there. You get into that Brandon Sanderson 800-page range, man. That's some solid writing. So, AK, I'm going to come back to you for this one, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't ask it earlier. I just got an email from someone who's listening, and they asked me to ask you this question, and I like my head sunk when I looked at it, like, oh, I'm such an idiot for not asking it. But have you had any inspiration from true-to-life serial killers or any of the – I mean, you mentioned that you watch a lot of those shows. Was there somebody that you kind of found inspiration in that made your book and a – in some kind of a way, or, you know, is your serial killer that unique?
Oh, no, absolutely. There was absolute inspiration. I would say a lot of it came from probably I have a character who is a serial killer in the book, and he's being interviewed throughout the books, and it's reminiscent of Israel Keyes, which was covered by a True Crime Bullshit podcast. He had, like, no MO, was all over the country just randomly murdering people for years.
Ooh, that's like the
terrifying.
Michael Myers. like you literally, like, there's no way to track it. It's just, he just kills and you have no idea why he just does
yeah.
it. That,
yeah.
That's a little kind of twisted where, like, there's always seems to be a pattern when you get that Michael Myers non-pattern where it's just like, you're in front of me, therefore you die. You know, that's
yeah.
the worst of the worst. So
it's the unpredictability of it all.
Well, yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, look, at least I figured there had to be something in there, but you never know. Sometimes it could just come from inspiration comes from a lot of kind of strange
yeah.
places. But so, you know, Ian, I'm going to change the subject on you a little bit here. Which of the characters in your books are you most similar to, or are there other characters in your books that you stole from a real life person? Like somebody that you were like, oh, you know, that person, you know, that person I worked with or my best friend growing up, I baked them into my book. Did you do that with anybody, either yourself where like someone you're like looking through your own eyes a little bit, or was there someone that you borrowed from your real life experiences and interactions with people?
Oh man. That's got some layers. I guess we'll answer the first part. And I didn't really see myself in any of my characters. I mean, I guess, you know, you take an aspect of yourself and kind of put them in there somehow. But I've asked people, my wife has told me the character I'm most like is the captain of the main character's team. And his name is Isaac. He's kind of curmudgeon-y, kind of southern, very straightforward, blunt person. And so I was like, okay, I guess I can see that. The rest of it, I definitely, sometimes my friends will ask me like, hey, you know, am I in your books? And I'll be like, well, I mean, you'll probably know if you, like some of the powers, like some of the characters in the books, they're called Titans and they can shift themselves into different elements or even different animals. And so, you know, if I have a friend in my book, I'm going to have them shift into their favorite animal, of course. So I don't know if I've ever taken too much inspiration from anyone in my life. But I definitely drop little Easter eggs for the people in my life that they can kind of like, oh, wait, I think I know why I put that in there.
That's cool. Yeah, I admit I do that a little bit too. You know, there are scenes, obviously D&D scenes that I've used and I've, you know, where my players, when I'm dungeon mastering, they'll recognize certain villains, they'll recognize certain battle scenes mm-hmm. and things like that, or the name of a town that the main characters are visiting and things like that too. I always try to do that. Even some like classic lines that people have dropped, I've tried to do that. So AK, I'm coming back to you with the same question then. You know, if you know, which of the characters in your books are most like you, or did you find, outside of the inspiration of the serial killer, did you find someone in real life that you baked into the book, even if it's your Aunt Molly, you know, cause she cooked the, you know, baked the right cookies or whatever. But what do you think there? What kind of characters are similar to you and which ones did you get from real life?
So I'll definitely say my main character and I share some traits and some struggles also. But she has a service dog, which as you'll remember from the convention, I also have a service dog. And that is probably...
I was going to say, that sounds really familiar. Yeah.
different breed, but same kind of service dog that's just perfect in every way.
Of course.
As far as people go, they're sprinkled in there all over the place. There's definitely inspiration taken from real life.
There you go. All right. Well, look, Ian, coming back to you. As an author, we've all spent money on our work, some good, some not so good. What was the best money you've ever spent as a writer?
Oh, man. So I don't know how many nerds are on here, but there's a card game called Magic the Gathering.
I think I've heard of it.
I reached out to an artist, that does art for the cards, and she agreed to do an art piece for my books. And it's on my Instagram, and it's tagged. It's the first thing on there. If anyone wants to go check it out, she did a phenomenal job in one of the scenes of the books, and it has gotten a lot of attention. So, yeah, I mean, that was probably easily the number one thing that I'm happy that I spent the money on.
I'm liking that. I might have to steal that from you and give you no credit at all.
if you want the artist or anything, I'll shoot her info because she did a great job.
That's cool. I think I'm down. And I'm not kidding. I'm not going to give you any credit whatsoever. AK, how about you? What's the best money as an author that you've ever spent?
Oh, man. That's really a hard question.
Clearly it was coming to Raleigh to meet Ian and
I'm actually honestly
right?
I'm gonna say it was the money that was spent to get me to the convention. Yeah, that was a real surreal. I'm an actual author and
out,
I have these books.
That's a cop out.
I met a
out.
Lot
no,
of amazing
no, no.
people. That's
well,
actually
all
right, though.
I'll let that slide, even though I kind of helped you along. I didn't want to guide you the horse to water, but I'll let that go. I'll stay with you then, AK. What authors, and this is a strange question, but I had this asked at the last two conventions I was at. What author did I dislike and then grew to like down the road? Do you have somebody like that where you were starting a reading and you're like, I don't like this at all, and then – you end up you look up and you're 8 books into a series or two.
Oh, man.
Like mine was Sarah Moss. Like, everybody's like, you got to read Sarah. And I'm like, all right. And I started to, and I struggled with the first couple of chapters, and all of a sudden I look up and I'm done. I'm like, I've read everything she has out there. It's ridiculous. Do you have somebody like that?
I didn't dislike, but I struggled to get through The Wheel of Time for a long time.
Yeah.
But that's truly an amazing and very long series. But it was really worth it getting to the end.
Yeah. How about you, Ian? Do you have something like that where you start off this author was just not your style, and all of a sudden you're like, it's an acquired taste, maybe?
Probably the last time was when I was a child. I read the Redwall series, and the first book I read of that was it was The Slugfest. But then as soon as I kept going, I mean, I think I read almost all of those books when I was younger.
That's cool. And I've got one more question for both of you before we get into our lightning round. We have some fun at the end of all of our shows where I ask you guys some quick questions. You give me some quick answers, and usually we make fun out of each other when that happens. But before I do, one last serious question, and I think this troubles a lot of authors. What do you do? And I'll start with you, AK. What do you do if you get an inspiration for a new idea and it jumps out at you while you're still working on a book? Like, do you chase that, or do you do you have the discipline to put that aside and finish what you're working on?
I do not have the discipline to put it to the side. Yeah. I absolutely start something on the other side. I've got notes. This is actually an active thing that I'm having a problem with right now. So there's a whole other book in creation while working on the current one.
Well, you know, it's funny because not only do we have a lot of readers that listen to the show, we have a lot of authors that listen to the show. So I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that falls victim to this. Ian, how about you? Are you the same way? Do you, like, ever see yourself diverted by the shiny object of the day? Or do you hone down the discipline? You're like, no, I'm not going to listen. I got to get that third book done. Where's your head? Have you ever fallen victim to that?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten a lot better about it. There's a horror fantasy series that I'm really excited to get started on, and I'm about 250 pages into the first book, but I had to set it aside. I was like, I have to resist the temptation. I need to finish these other books first, and then I'll go back to that.
Yeah, I feel you through your pain. I was in my writing group about a month ago, and I have this great idea for a character in a series of novels that has nothing to do with my current works in progress. And by the time I was done talking about it, like, everybody around the table is looking at me like, you've got to write that. You could see the passion for this project. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not done. Like, I feel like I have to, like, the planner in me is, like, driving me to get what I have to have done. But I can't stop thinking about this new character and this new series, and it's kicking my butt. So, well, anyway, hey, so look, we only have a last few minutes here as we go into our lightning round. So this is really simple. I'm going to throw a couple of quick questions out to you. We'll rotate back and forth. AK, I'll start with you, and then, you know, Ian, I'll come back to you, and then vice versa. We'll kind of do a, you know, snake draft. We'll come back up the other way. So are you guys ready to enter the lightning round?
Sure.
All right. Okay. So AK, I know that both you and Ian are pet people. What is your favorite breed of dog?
My favorite breed of dog is Lab.
Oh, Ian, how about you?
Corgis.
I've got a Lab and a Husky, and Labs I love too, so I'm with AK on this one. So good choice, AK. All right, Ian, I'm going to start with you. Since I think you told me you have two dogs and a cat. Is that right?
Two dogs and two cats.
Two dogs, two cats. All right. So tomorrow you open the door, and there's a dog standing outside, and it's going to be your new dog. What's your new dog's name?
Frodo, and it is a corgi.
Nice. Stays consistent with the fantasy adventure stuff. How about you, AK? That dog is scratching at your door. You open it up, and it's standing there looking at you, and it says, Mom, I am blank.
Its name's going to be Calcifer, and it's going to probably be another Lab.
What? All right, where'd you get that?
Spirited Away. Or not Spirited Away. Howl's Moving Castle. He's the fire demon.
Oh, all right. There you go. All right, Ian, your favorite Dungeons & Dragons class and your favorite Dungeons & Dragons race to play?
Oh, goodness. Goliath Barbarian. I just want to smash things.
Wow. All right, that didn't take that long. I thought that's exactly what the lightning round is about. You came through. I fall into this like dark elven slash. I mean, I love playing like rogues and rangers, and so my characters have a tendency to fall in that. Even though I think I'm a better wizardy kind of guy in the end, but I just doesn't work that way. All right, AK, last question for you before we close out the show. I think you mentioned this before, but I'm gonna throw this out at you anyway. You have a chance to go into a prison and interview any serial killer, dead or alive. So I'm talking like Jack the Ripper. You can anybody. Who do you go into that prison and who do you interview?
Oh, that's a horribly hard question for a lightning round.
It's supposed to put pressure on you, though, right?
I will go with Israel Keyes.
All right, so you went back to the old standby. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. I wasn't sure where I was going to get you on this one, throwing that open. So, look, we are coming to the end of my message spell here, and I can feel the magic fading from my eyes. So before I leave, I want to thank my guests again, A.K. Ramirez and Ian Evanston, for allowing me to conjure them into the realm, if only for but a short time. And A.K., Ian, tell everyone where they could find you one last time. A.K., you're first.
My website is akramirezwrites.com. You can find me on all the socials with AK Ramirez Writes, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or now X. That's everything.
Yep. Ian, how about you?
Yeah, just find it on Amazon, ipeviston.com. Instagram is also ipeviston.
Great. And thank you guys for listening to our followers. Appreciate you lending us your ear today. And until next time, I'm JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.